Revelation 21, we'll begin reading at verse 1. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this hope we have in the future. Lord, of you setting everything right, Lord, and taking away all our sorrow and grief, Lord. We just pray that in our present day, Lord, that you would give us grace for the trials ahead. Just pray you would help us this morning as we look into your word, that you would bless us and guide us, Lord, in our daily lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we read this passage, and it is something that we think of. What a glorious day it will be that day, that when God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, that different sorrows that we have, different heartaches, that they will be no more, that there won't be any more death. There's no parting over there anymore. That all these former things are passed away, and we see as well, it says, neither shall there be any more pain. And I think that's something certainly that we look forward to. Any time that it seems sometimes so easy to hurt ourselves, whether it's hitting our thumb with a hammer or any number of things. I know yesterday I was helping, got home, and I think I was helping Caleb do something, and he put his head up and hit me on the chin, and I ended up biting my own lip because of it, and it just, you have that rush of pain, and you think, boy, it'll be nice when that day comes, that there will be no more pain. But we recognize that until that day, that we're in this world, that pain is going to be part of our world, and it is going to be part of our lives. We see that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." That we understand that both we and creation itself waits for that redemption, that glorious liberty from the bondage of corruption. But we recognize that day will not come until a future day, and so we must deal with pain in our lives today. And we recognize there's lots of different types of pain in this world. There's a lot of physical pain that we endure, different aches and headaches and other things, different ailments. But we recognize also there is emotional pain, these heartaches, things that happen that cut us to the core, mistreatments, disappointments. We're wounded by others. Things happen, and it hurts us deeply. It sometimes I think the emotional, mental, and spiritual pain sometimes is harder to bear than the physical in some respects. And we see that in the scriptures, that the Lord calls us to be long-suffering. And of course we understand that there is suffering, and we have to be able to learn to bear it patiently in this world. We see in Colossians chapter 1, it says, verse 10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." And trying to put those three words together, patience and long suffering and joyfulness, is not something that we expect or we think is even possible, but we understand that's what God desires of us. That's what God wants to see in our lives as we grow into maturity with Him. We want to understand, what are the causes of pain? How did pain come upon this world? How did pain come upon us? We recognize that it came through the fall when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Sin entered in the world, death by sin. That because of that, that there is pain in this world. There is disease and disorder and death. There is great sorrow and grief. And we understand that when in the end times, when the Lord takes all these things away, that really what's happened as well is that He's taken sin out of this earth and all its harm that it causes, that's cleansed away, that we are His people and He is our God. And we recognize that in our own lives when we have pain, that some of it comes when we're reaping what we've sowed. We make poor choices and we suffer the consequences. Different times I haven't quite experienced it yet. They say when you hit 40 that it kind of starts to become evident that different injuries that you had when you were young that you healed over so quickly that all of a sudden they come back to haunt you. And we understand that the different things happen in our lives. That I know with Caleb, he's probably our most accident prone of our kids, and he as yet has not been able to associate the reaping and the sowing part of it, that he keeps getting hurt, but he doesn't stop being a daredevil. But we realize that some sins, things come, some pain comes because we're reaping what we've sowed, different decisions that we've made that are harmful to us. But we recognize that some things just happen, that it was out of our control. We didn't really do anything to bring it upon ourselves. It just came into our lives. Maybe what happened that someone did something and it affected many people, it affected us. But then other times it's right out of the blue, things we don't expect. Times where a person can live a healthy life and yet still end up having to deal with a difficult disease. We see this in Job chapter 3 and verse 26. It says, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And we understand that sometimes trouble comes to our life. Sometimes we get pain in our lives. It may be because of our own mistakes, it may be because of the mistakes of others, or it may just come just out of nowhere. And whatever the reason, we still have to deal with that pain all the same. And so we understand that there is pain in this world, that it comes upon us, we can expect it. But we recognize what the world's response is to pain. How does most everyone look at it? When they come to pain, they think, well, I need to avoid pain at all costs. I need relief from it immediately. I want to escape it. And we understand that it kind of makes sense that we don't like pain, we don't enjoy it. But we realize sometimes if we're in such a desire to escape it and seek immediate relief, that it may not be the solution that we need. Sometimes it actually makes it even worse. And we understand that as well, that there is the physical pain that we can try to get rid of, but there is also that emotional pain that if we have unpleasant feelings, things happen that make us feel bad, that with some that they would do almost anything in order to rid them of those feelings. And we recognize that the source of nearly all addictions of people that deal with drugs and alcohol and other abuse, these behaviors which we see and recognize to be destructive, we wonder, well, how did they get involved in those things? How did they become in bondage to those things? For pretty well all of them, it's because it's used as a coping mechanism to deal with pain. That this hurts, and so I'm going to do this, and it'll help me to forget. It'll help to ease the pain. It'll help me not to think of it. But then, of course, after the effects wear off, the problem's still there, the pain's still there. And so what happens is they need to take more in order to get that good feeling back again. And it just spirals downward. And they get in bondage. And it begins with seeking after these things in order to relieve themselves from pain. But it is something we understand that in order to get deliverance from this, that there are other choices that can be made. There are other ways that a person can get deliverance. We understand with physical pain that it's the way that it works in our bodies, that it's a warning signal. That if something is not right within our systems, there's pain. And if there is something wrong, then it's something that needs to be examined to determine what it is so that it might be dealt with in the best way possible. If we just simply silence that pain, it may actually be to our detriment. It would be kind of the same, if you think of it, you're driving in your vehicle and you hear a knock in the engine and you think, well, I don't know what that is, I'll just pour some more oil in, or I'll pour some heavier oil, that'll kind of solve it, or maybe I'll just turn the radio up so I don't hear the knocking, that'll take care of it. And we realize that that doesn't solve the problem, that only sometimes makes it worse. And so we recognize that we need to be wise. And we understand that emotionally as well, that just trying to cover over the problem does not solve it, it just prolongs it and may actually make it worse. And we want to understand that the devil wants to use pain to discourage us, to defeat us, to destroy us. That when things happen, that we get frustrated with the pain, that it drives us crazy, and we take it out on other people. We don't have hope. It just bogs us down, and we think, well, I'm never going to have any relief from this. And he wants to use it in that way to give us no hope, to make us think that life's not even worth living anymore. But we want to understand that God has a different plan for it. God, He knows that pain is part of our life. It's because of sin entering into this world, but He wants to still use it for our good and His glory. And we see this given in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 21, that that Jesus Himself lived upon this earth. It says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." That we see from the life of Jesus Christ that He went through great suffering, great pain, when He died upon the cross for us. And yet we see the testimony that was given, that He was given myrrh or vinegar mixed with myrrh to drink in Mark 15 and verse 23, wine mingled with myrrh, but He received it not. And we wonder, well, why would He not receive it? We understand that myrrh had pain-killing properties. It would have numbed the pain. But yet when it was mixed with wine, mixed with vinegar, it potentiated. It actually becomes very dangerous. And we understand that with a lot of medications today that are pain-killing, if they're mixed with alcohol and other things, that it can be very unhealthy for us. It can be very dangerous. And we understand that He refused this pain relief. We wonder, why would He do that? And in doing that, He was leaving us an example in that sense, that everything that He does when He lived upon this earth is an example to us. And in this way, when He refused this pain relief, He's telling us that there are times in our life when we do need to endure pain and suffering in order for God to accomplish the greater good in our lives and ultimately to glorify His name. And we understand that there are some times when we do have to endure pain. This is actually a quote from Cicero, who lived in the first century before Christ. And he speaks of this, that sometimes men can be beguiled and demoralized by the charms and pleasure of the moment, and so blinded by desire that they cannot foresee the pain and trouble that are bound to ensue. And equal blame belongs to those who fail in their duty through weakness of will, which is the same as saying, through shrinking from toil and pain. These cases are perfectly simple and easy to distinguish. In a free hour, when our power of choice is untrammeled, and when nothing prevents our being able to do what we like best, every pleasure is to be welcomed and every pain avoided. But in certain circumstances, and owing to the claims of duty or the obligations of business, it will frequently occur that pleasures have to be repudiated and annoyances accepted. The wise man, therefore, always holds in these matters to this principle of selection. He rejects pleasures to secure other greater pleasures, or else he endures pains to avoid worse pains. And that's what we understand, that that if we try to avoid pain all the time, it actually makes it worse. It's the same if you think of your finances. If you're starting to go into debt, that you realize, well, I need to tighten my belt now, that I need to make some hard choices. But if I make them now, it'll make it so much better later on. If I wait, if I keep spending money to make myself feel good, what's going to happen? That it's going to come to a crunch time where I'm going to be at a point where I can't even manage, that things will become much more painful for me. And we understand that that's something in our own finances, even in our governments, that it's an understandable thing of how that we endure pain for a time so that we may avoid greater pain in the future. And that we look not just at the now, just not at the moment, but on the things of eternity. We think of this with Moses as well in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." And we understand that he could have made the choice to avoid pain, to stay as Pharaoh's daughter, enjoy all the comforts of palace life, but he chose rather to suffer affliction. He made the right decision, and he chose to follow what the Lord would have him to do, and he was blessed for it in the end. And so we understand that the Lord wants to use this for our good. And we wonder, well, how can pain and suffering have a purpose in our life? How can it be good for us? It certainly doesn't feel good, but how does the Lord want to use it? And that is the amazing thing, that the Lord can use even difficult times for our good and for His glory. We see that pain and suffering does have a purpose, and that purpose specifically is to perfect us, to make us into His image. It says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." That we understand that we will suffer a while in this life, but it's for a purpose. It's to make us perfect, to make us mature, to help us to grow, help us to become strong in His power, that He enables us to overcome these things. We also understand that the going through pain teaches us obedience. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says of the Lord Jesus, "Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him." That it's the thought that it's easy to obey the Lord when everything's going well. But when everything's not going well, where it seems that the bottom has fallen out of our world, that we still obey Him, that's how we truly learn obedience, is by staying true to Him even though we're in pain. Then we also recognize that by going through pain, it enables us to minister to others, that we're able to identify with them, that we understand that with the Lord Jesus, that He is can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities because He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That any trial that we face, He knows what we're going through. And we see Hebrews 2 and verse 18, it says, "For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted." And the word succor is the idea to run to the aid of someone that's in need of help. And that's the thought that we have with the Lord Jesus, because He's gone through these struggles, He's gone through pain, that He wants to minister to those that are struggling as well. And that's the thought, that when we go through pain, even if we don't see any purpose from it in the beginning, we might find out later on, well, the Lord wants to use me to minister to someone else that's going through the same thing. I know a pastor in British Columbia, I believe he had six kids. He had one that was, one of his children died in childbirth, and he ended up, there was this one family that they'd lost a little baby, and he went to them and tried to console them and said, "Well, I know how you feel." And the mother said, "Well, how could you possibly know how I feel?" And he said, "Well, because I've had to bury one of my own children too." And she knew that he understood what she was facing as well. And he was able to help them and encourage them in that way. And that's what we realize, that the Lord brings us through pain so that we can help someone else through pain. That He wants us to prepare us to minister for Him. But then we also want to realize that with pain and suffering, that God's purpose in it is to bring us closer to Himself. And sadly, so often when pain comes, when difficulties come, we allow the devil to use it to drive us away from Him. But the Lord's purpose is to drive us closer to Him. We understand that He knows what we're going through. He wants to help us. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4, it says, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." We realize how much of the pain that should have fallen upon us that He bore, and how He wants to help us through difficult times. He wants to minister to us. And if we draw close to Him, that we find that He bears us up, that He helps us, that He is our refuge, our fortress, our hiding place. And we realize that the Lord can use difficult times, times of great pain, that we seek Him, that we cry out for help, and He ministers to us. I was reading in a book a few weeks back, and this one pastor gave this anecdote of his grandmother. She was about 78 years old, and she lived by herself in her home. And one Friday afternoon, that she just went to go into the bathroom, and she had a stroke, and she collapsed on the floor, and she was paralyzed, and she couldn't get help, and no one was planning to come by and visit her in that time. And so for 3 days she was on her bathroom floor by herself. And a neighbor finally went and checked on her, found her, and she was taken to hospital, but she remained paralyzed for the rest of her life, and she died 6 months later. And the pastor, her grandson, went with her and visited with her and asked her, "Well, just what was going through your mind when you were lying on the floor? How were you feeling? What were you thinking?" And she said to him, "It says, I've never been closer to God my whole life than when I was on the floor in pain." That time where she was alone with Him, that the Lord ministered to her, that it was not something that she was angry about, something she was upset or bitter against God, that it was a blessing to her. And that's something that we don't understand that sometimes. We don't think that could happen, but that's what the Lord wants to do, that He wants to minister to us. He wants to be close to us. And so we want to think in that way, that we realize that the Lord has a purpose in pain, and that we would learn to endure for His sake. In our hymn books, there's one hymn, it's 323, "More Love to Thee," and there's a verse there. It says, "Let sorrow do its work, send grief and pain. Sweet are Thy messengers, sweet their refrain. When they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to Thee. More love to Thee, more love to Thee." And that's what we want to understand, that sorrow and pain and these things, they can do a work in our lives. We may not enjoy it at the time, but when we get to the other side, we realize it was for a purpose. And so we want to allow the Lord to do His work with these things, and we want to learn to endure. It speaks of this in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, in verse 10 it says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And that's something that we don't think, well, how can we be happy enduring trials, enduring pain? But it's understanding when we get to the other side, we'll see that it's worth it. If we give up, if we get angry, if we fail to be a good testimony in the midst of our pain, if we start lashing out at those around us, then it's a detriment. But if we endure, if we do right, even when things are not going our way, even when things are difficult, the Lord is honored and we're happy in the end. Remember, Pastor Ironside has passed away around Christmas time this year, and he's always been a very gentle man, but just before he died, he had kidney stones really bad, and other things were happening that he was in a lot of pain. And the testimony of the nurses that were looking after him, because there were several other people in the ICU, and they'd go to give them needles and other things, and they'd get mad at him and swear at him and do these, and like actually even physically abuse the nurses. But when they came to Pastor Ironside, that even though they could see he was in a lot of pain, that he would actually comfort them and said, "Well, don't. I know you're doing your job. Just don't worry. It's fine." And he would endure that. And it was even to the very end of his life that he was a testimony in that. And that's what the Lord wants us to be, that we can be happy and enduring in Him. And it's something that we think about, that there will come that day when there shall be no more sorrow and tears and no more pain. And so we want to think of it. That day is coming, that it may not be very long, really. And when that happens, that pain will be just a memory. And so may the Lord help us that we can just hold on a little bit longer when things are difficult, that we don't run away, we don't try to escape it, we don't get mad at God, but we draw close to Him. We allow Him to do the work that He wants to do through this difficult time, this pain that we're enduring, so that He can be glorified, that we can be perfected, and that we can be a blessing to others and a glory to Him. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We just pray You would help us, Lord, to be faithful and to endure these things, Lord. We realize it's not easy, Lord, but we know that Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord, even in difficult times. We just pray You would help us, Lord, to make wise decisions, to stand and do what You would have us to do, Lord, even though it might be difficult, Lord. Just comfort us in our pain and just give us the grace to bear it according to Your will. And just bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand once more. We'll turn to number 354 and we'll sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," hymn 354.